Saddle up. It's a wild ride. Locked in the bunker, shadows shake. One man clapping secrets awake. Board games living, dice they break. Echoes pounding, hearts they quake. I cannot believe it. Welcome to the sound of one man clapping. I am the one man coming to you direct from the bunker. It is Sunday evening. We're swapping things up a little bit. I've got a new work schedule. I am sleeping in, which is weird as fuck. I've never done that before. And one man clapping turned one. So we are now on our way to one man clapping being two. Not two men, but 2 years old. We're starting our second trip around the sun on September, if I think I've got this right, September 6th. 2024, the very first episode aired. Go back and listen to it if you want to hear something that's really rough. I'm a fast learner, at least. It wasn't too much of that. Anyway, no coffee tonight. My beverage choice tonight is A&W root beer. If you know, you know. It is Father's Day in Australia today, and I have indeed had a great day. It's been 2 weeks since our regular format. We had the Aeon Trespass Cycle 1 wrap up last week, and here we go. This week, I'm going to go through all the games that were. We're going to wade through FOMO Mofo. I can't recall if there's anything in incoming, but I'm going to check. Incoming! 4 exclamation marks. I will check, then we'll spend some time with the voices in my head, and I might give someone the clap too. There's a deserving motherfucker out there. So happy birthday to OMC. Happy birthday. Happy first year to all the listeners. It's been a wild first year. Didn't quite tick over an episode a week. This is officially episode 34. There's a handful of bonus episodes in there. 5 or 6, which probably has us sitting somewhere around 40 episodes, give or take. So that's not too bad for the first year. I think it's just the stats from memory are most podcasts don't make it past episode 21. Don't know why episode 21, but what's funny is we'll touch on this later. We'll go back. We'll do that later. But for now, let's go through the games that were. Obviously, this is the last couple of weeks because last week's episode was a little different. It hasn't been tons of games, if I'm being honest. It's just been that kind of time. But got Deceased Gotham City Outbreak to the table. Now, Deceased, I am a mad DC fan. If you know anything about me, you know I'm particularly fond of the Bat. I've got plenty of Batman paraphernalia in and around the bunker. And I am very much looking forward to Deceased, which is fulfilling, in theory, probably early next year, the way things are going. If things aren't sort of wrapping up mass production now, they're not going to be here before the end of Chinese New Year, probably. And Deceased is, you know, by Simon, and I don't want to go through the weeds of all that nonsense anymore, or again, shall I say. But Deceased Gotham City Outbreak was like the small box retail version. It's not light, it's kind of more light on components. So instead of minis for all the zombies, you've got standees. And look, the scenarios are still great. So this was a chance, and you see where I'm going with this. I got Peanut to the table and I said, hey, do you want to kill some zombies? Do you want to be Poison Ivy and Batgirl? And she went, Dad, you know I do. So we played, and I was really impressed with this because this is the first time the Peanut's ever had to sort of deal with line of sight, targeting priorities. You know, there was a bit of coaching going on. Obviously, I'm not going to pretend she's some savant. You know, she's actually got a great head for games. But she also played double-handed. So we each played two characters. We only played the tutorial mission, which isn't huge. But I'll tell you what, she absolutely got it. She absolutely got the whole rhythm of, you know, the number of actions you got to take and what your choices are and the benefit of powering up and the benefit of, you know, she was adamant we had to rescue both bystanders, you know, and I'm like, oh, there's two bystanders in the tutorial. We could probably just let one get munched. She's like, Dad, we cannot let a bystander get munched by zombies. I'm like, oh, okay. So spoiler, we did not win. We got our asses swarmed right at the end. But you know what? It was great. And we played, it was probably an hour and 10 minutes. And as I said, the Peanut played two-handed. And she absolutely was able to sort of, I'm going to do this character. And then sometime later, I'm going to do this character. And then next round, well, I might do them in a different order. And it was amazing to watch. You know, she's 10. She's 10. And for 10, I think she does a pretty darn good job. She's not ready for Voidfall yet, you know, or anything like Too Many Bones or Elder Scrolls or, you know, Arx. She'll be the only one that's playing Arx with me eventually. I know that. But we've got to get them in and get them started early. I like Deceased a lot. I like Zombicide a lot. I would go so far as to say I probably love Zombicide. Not love, but look, it is so much fun. It's Zombicide and, you know, Cthulhu Death May Die. They're dice. You don't have to think too much. You know, you can play 3- and 4-handed without taxing yourself. Art's great in Deceased. I'm really looking forward to this fulfilling. You know, I'm not looking forward to having 792 unpainted minis. Not quite. It's not as bad as the Marvel Zombies campaign or you know, Marvel United or whatever the case is. But there's quite a few. And yeah, we lost. We had a great time. She wants to play again. That's a win in my books. That's by Simon. The game by Michael Chenault, I think. There's a ton of artists involved because there's a ton of art in Deceased. All the boards have art. All the cards have art. The standees are art. You know, there's art. And you know what? It's really easy to learn. The rule book's not too heavy. So that was Deceased. And then, well, I had a game day, a game night. Super Trooper and I are back to our Thursday evening midweek board game for now. For now, watch this space. So we played a game of Five Tribes. Five Tribes, the Djinns of Nakala. I'm not even sure if Djinns is that's the name. It's the Djinns. Let me look at it. Yeah, the Djinns of Nakala. I think djinn is kind of like sheep. It's like, I got one djinn. I've got 17 djinn. I'm not sure it's djinns. They would have done their homework. Anyway, Five Tribes is quickly becoming one of my go-tos. It's so fun. Five Tribes, you know, you've got a randomized tile set out. It's a 5x3, so it's a 30-tile grid. You drop a bunch of color-coded meeples on them in a random order. And it's a Mancala game. So you pick up all the meeples on one. And you've got to move to an adjacent tile and drop meeples off. And whichever tile you finish on, the meeple that lands there has to match at least one other meeple on that tile. So there's a little bit of thinking involved. And what happens is whatever tile you finish on, your meeple matches the meeples there. And you collect all the meeps of that color. And then you do an action. And the action will depend on the color of meeples. You know, the green meeples let you go to the market and take cards out of the market. And that's a set collection. The blue meeples give you straight up points, which is also money based on how many blue icons there are around where you are. The red meeples let you assassinate another meeple somewhere either on the board or in front of your opponent. The white meeples let you basically go to the djinn market and then activate those cards. And you know what? It is so easy to learn. It's easy to set up. It's easy to teach. It's easy to play. It's not easy to win, you know, or it's not easy to see a path. And I love it at 2. I've played it at 4. At 4, it's a bit like something like Sagrada in that there's no point even looking at the board until it's almost your turn. Because the spread of meeples and what's available to you is going to be so different. There is no point. I'm actually looking forward to playing this with Dustin because just for that very reason that, you know, you can't plan anything until it's almost your turn. And then, well, could backfire. It could be a 9-minute assessment of the board before we take anything. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I miss him. He's overseas. You haven't heard about Dustin in a while. He is overseas. His brother got married. Big shout out. And he may be back soon, which is good news. So we played that, and it's a blast. It really, really is fun. There's an expansion for it that I don't have that is pretty hard to find these days. There's 2 expansions. One of them just adds a 5th player. Imagine having a 5th player in Five Tribes. Just imagine. But loved it. Super Trooper and I played that Thursday night last week. Week before, we didn't play games last week. And was fantastic. That same night, we played Ark Nova. Now, Ark Nova is topical because, you know, the Ark Nova All the Plastic 3 edition is in crowdfunding. We might touch on that again later after my complete and utter meltdown over it 2 weeks ago. Sorry, not sorry. And we played Ark Nova because Ark Nova was on the brain. Super Trooper and I love Ark Nova. I think between us, or not between us, I think other than something, if you were counting our Ant Trespass games, each scenario or each play as a game, whatever the case is, or Gloomhaven or Frosthaven, if you're talking about just straight up game plays, it's the one we've played together the most. I think we're probably cracked 20 plays on that. And this particular game, sweet baby jeebus, The mofo beat me by 45 points. Now, I don't think I've ever even scored 45. You know, and if you played Ark Nova, you know, like, a good score in Ark Nova is like 14. If you get 17, you're doing well. He didn't score 45. He beat me by 45. I don't even know what happened. I don't even know. I don't have any clue how we got there. I just know the game was ending. I'm like, oh, I'm in pretty good shape with this. I think I'm going to be doing all right. And then he just kept going, end game, end game, end game, end game, end game, end game. And eventually all I could hear was, boos, like test pattern in my head as he's just marching around the board. And when he stopped, I was like, what the fruitcake just happened there? Had a great game. I had a great game. Even there's a legendary game we played where I think I ended up with one animal. It's just the lay of the cards. And, you know, it wouldn't have been me. It wouldn't have been the way I played. But I know for like the first half of the game, I had one chameleon. It's hilarious. It's so funny. Even that game. I've never had a bad game of Ark Nova. I've never had a game of Ark Nova I didn't enjoy. Super Trooper and I can knock over a two-player game in about 90 minutes. Maybe a little longer. Ark Nova is not a short game, but it seems to fly by. You know, I don't ever feel like it lingers. I did have one game of Ark Nova that was almost 5 hours once, which I will never, ever repeat. And that happened for reasons. But yeah, Ark Nova. You know, everyone's been talking about Ark Nova. Ark Nova is number three on Board Game Geek. That's Matthias Vigge and art by a squillion, including Dennis Lohausen, who's prolific. And it is published by Fuhrland Spiel and Capstone Games. And watch this space. And so later, Super Trooper and I had a day night. We had an Aeon Trespass day night, as we do. We are on cycle two of Aeon Trespass. Aeon Trespass is a five-cycle game. Each cycle is ostensibly 70 to 90 hours in gameplay. I gotta be honest, we're not doing so crash hot. There are a number of ways to hard fail in Aeon Trespass. We're staring down the barrel of two or three of them simultaneously. If you run out of crew, you fail. If you run out of hull in your boat, you fail. If you run out of titans, you fail. When I say fail, you're done. You pack it up, you reset, you have to start the whole campaign. So we've only put, when I say only, we've put, I think, two full days. And when I say day night, we play for about 12 hours. We break for meals and, you know, toilet breaks, whatever else. But we play for about 12 hours a day. And so we've put two of these in. We're not in great shape. So either we get a big win and we're able to rack up a few resources. I think our hull is on maybe one and our crew is on maybe two. Watch this space. You know, we hard failed cycle one. I got over it. We ended up having a great cycle one. If we hard fail cycle two, look, I'll get over it. I'd rather not, if I'm being perfectly blunt. But if we do, we do. And Aeon Trespass, we love Aeon Trespass. Aeon Trespass, we talk about it all the time. I'm not going to go into the details of it. Aeon Trespass is a lifestyle game. Don't start playing Aeon Trespass unless you absolutely want to give up hundreds and hundreds of hours. I mean, you're farming joy. You know, people say money can't buy happiness. I call bullshit. Aeon Trespass is happiness in a great big fat 27 kilo box. But whatevs. And of course, you know, every time we play Aeon Trespass, we're finished. I look and hop online afterwards and I look at crowdfunding and go, I can still get in on 12 Sins of Heracles. God, the Heracles mythos is fantastic. He was such a douche. Maybe. We're talking about it. We're like, oh, do we have enough organs to sell between us to go half? So we're thinking about it. Maybe. So that was Aeon Trespass. And then beyond that, because, and we're going to touch on this next, there's a crowdfunding campaign coming out this week for some expansion content. I brought Andromeda's Edge back to the table. Now, Andromeda's Edge by Cardboard Alchemy. Cardboard Alchemy is quickly getting a reputation for massively overproduced games. When I say overproduced, I mean as a compliment. You know, Super Trooper got, was it Critter Kitchen? It's like a drafting, cooking, set collection kind of thing. And it's heaps of fun. But oh my lord, like every piece in that game is overproduced. You know, the scoring is done with these little enamel stars that are colored in. And so Carbon Alchemy did this game, which is the spiritual sequel to Dwellings of Eldervale. And now, from memory, Dwellings of Eldervale was a different publisher. The production quality of that was no less off the chain. It was so wild, in fact, that all your monsters had these little bases that had, like, recordings in them of noises, which is just weird, because I can't imagine after like the 45th move of something, you're like, you want to hear the same. Rawr! Oh yeah, look, we're gonna move the dragon. You ready? Rawr! Like, it's whimsical for I think two goes, but you could do it. They all had recorded basses. I think you could get in. Wild. I played Dwellings of Eldervale. I really liked Dwellings of Eldervale. Lou liked Dwellings of Eldervale. I mean, Dwellings of Eldervale was 6 years ago, so she was 13 at the time. We played it. Really liked it. I love Andromeda's Edge. Andromeda's Edge takes all the stuff that that was, I won't use the word painful, but it was just hard to swallow in Dwellings of Eldervale. Gets rid of it, replaces it. There's more. The dice mitigation is a big one. Dice combat's really easy. You're each chucking a certain number of dice based on the strength that you're going in with, and its highest number wins. So if you're rolling five dice and you roll a six and your opponent rolls three dice and they roll a six, well, then you compare the next die down until somebody comes out on top. It's really easy. There's ways to add more dice. There's ways to get rerolls. There's little cards that you can collect that mitigate in battle. Some of those cards shut battle down. There's a diplomacy guard that basically says, you shake hands and walk away, and it just ends the battle, which is just so, so spicy. You know, it's like, well, we're all gearing up. And let me be clear, I've only played Andromeda's Edge solo. I am very much looking forward to having other people at the table for it. I think three would be a good number to do for my first multiplayer game. The production quality is ridiculous. The components are ridiculous. I mean, the coins in Andromeda's Edge are some of the sexiest little coins that you've ever seen. They're not even a coin. They're like they're a credit. And they're this wonderful 3D open-centered, I don't even know how to describe it. If you played, you know. If you know, you know. And so anyway, the production's amazing. I've got the Uber Deluxe version. I've been playing it. It's been on the table for about 8 days. And so I come down after dinner in the evening and I'll play for half an hour and an hour. Today it was still on the table and I'd reset it. I played the whole game today. A solo game of Andromeda's Edge is probably 2 hours. It feels like about 40 minutes. It just flies by. The bot's so easy to run. Running the raiders is so easy. The combat's so easy. And amidst all of that, it's actually a tableau builder. You know, it's not so much area control. You've got area majority issues out on the board, largely because you're trying to construct buildings out on the edge. But at its heart, you know, it's a really clever worker placement tableau builder, and the game mechanics are solid. It's tight. Like, it's so you're putting a worker out or you're bringing your workers back. When you bring your workers back, you pass them by one of your spots on your tableau and you activate it. And it gets a little combo-tastic and weird. It's so good. And the production quality is 47 out of 10. I've been playing a whole ton of Andromeda's Edge. I finally won today. Andromeda's Edge is not easy to win. And I was playing against a level 1. I think there are about 12 different bots that you play against. And it's so seamless to play them. Don't let the sound of, it might be 10 or 9, but there's a lot. Don't let the sound of 12 different bots, you know, give you screaming ear. They're very easy. They're all running exactly the same. It's just the different tracks they chase or the actions they take are different. Very, very smooth. So looking forward to playing some more Andromeda's Edge. Getting to the table with some actual peeps would be nice. That is by Luke and Maximus Lori, Cardboard Alchemy, and art by Sergio Chavez. The art on Andromeda's Edge is fantastic. All of the factions are really whimsical. They have names like the Technoblorp Hippogriffs. I've got that wrong, okay? But that's not far off at all. There's a Flamecraft Dragon called the Draconian Empire, but the art is actually done by... Oh, no, I'm going to get it wrong. Sandra Tang, I'm sorry. Artist for... I have to look it up now because I'm going to get it wrong. Holy shit, I got it right. Sandara Tang. It's like it's... I think it's pronounced Sandra. Sandra. It's S-A-N-D-A-R-A. Tang. And of course, Sandra Tang does the art for Flamecraft. And those sort of associated IP bits. And of course, Flamecraft is by Cardboard Alchemy. So they've got a Flamecraft Dragons faction. And they all play different. And they play just differently enough to give them a beautiful flavor without turning it into root in space. You know, it's nice. It's not weird. So Andromeda's Edge. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I don't know if it's top 10, but I could tell you it's probably top 20 for me, I would say. Beyond that, I think we're going to get some more gaming in this week. I know Saturday this week, I've got a few people coming over because the Fox and the Peanut are out of town. Sparkle's away with her mom. Luz, who knows what Luz's doing? Luz might be around, but she just kind of hides in a room, stinking the place up. We are starting Clank Legacy Acquisitions Incorporated on Saturday, which is very exciting. And if I have my way, we're going to be gaming on Thursday night. Super Trooper and I will be doing our Thursday night games. Not sure what rabbit hole we're going to go down. Maybe Nucleum with the Australia map. Maybe I might. It'd be nice if I need someone to teach me how to play Undaunted so I can play Undaunted 2200, because jumping straight into the solo of Undaunted when you have no idea how to play, it's really intimidating. I've put it on the table three or four times and set up and got the scenario books. So I've just gone, nope, and I've put it away just because I don't know how to. I kind of understand how to play, but I don't know how to play. So maybe we'll see. Up next on incoming! Four exclamation marks. Turns out there's a little bit on the way. I don't have any formal shipping notifications, but there's a fair bit that's imminent. That's the All Play Trio that I backed last year. That's Waddle, which is the gorgeous little penguin area majority game. Twinkle Twinkle, which involves building constellations out of these lovely tactile clear acrylics. And Merchants of Andromeda, which is getting mixed reviews overseas, but has a Dutch auction, a Dutch clock auction in it, which I love because the psychological games on a Dutch clock auction are fantastic. For those of you that don't know, a Dutch clock goes backwards. So the bid starts at 10 or it starts at 20, it goes backwards, and the first person to bid gets it, not the last. So it's a head game of how low can I get it to go? How low can it go? How long can I let that tick before I take that bid? And they've got this delightful little app where everyone puts their finger on it. And the first person to let their finger go gets the bid, right? So it's going to be spicy, it's going to be zesty, and I'm very much looking forward to that. Allegedly, Earthborn Rangers is about to ship. I haven't got a shipping notification, but it's about to ship. I think it's coming from VR here in Australia, so it could be here literally any day now. And I'm looking very much forward to playing that with the Peanut because I think it's the kind of thing that while the whole deck building aspect of it, which she absolutely got when we played Clank. We played Clank in space. She absolutely got the whole deck building bit and the whole bit about trashing junk cards and cycling and getting through your deck as fast as possible to get back to those good cards. It's a little bit, I think Earthborn Rangers is a little more deck construction. So that'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting to see how she cleaves to that. I found and yeah, I found the expansion for Nucleum, the Australia one, not the patrons and saints or whatever it is, but the Australia one, which is Australian maps and whatever. I got it for a really good price. I think I picked it up for $30. So that's arrived in the bunker. I'm still, for being honest, I'm still on the fence about Nucleum. I think there's an amazing game in there. I just think it hasn't clicked for me yet. I might put it on the table and play a few solo games this week and see if I can just get my brain to go, aha. I love the mechanisms in it as the mechanisms. It's just when they're all together, like I still my brain when I say, oh, we I want to use Nucleum to power something, my brain still goes, yeah, I don't get it. Yeah. Anyway, that's incoming with four exclamation marks. Not a lot coming, to be honest. There's been lots of delay notifications across the board. On campaigns, be that from tariffs, be that from, just the Captain Cheeto who's stomping his foot and everyone's anxious. Anyone who didn't see that coming really was being silly. I think most of the campaigns that I've backed or that I'm sort of waiting for towards the end of this year, with few exceptions, most of them have gone, yeah, no, we're not going to be able to hit that this year. And a lot of that's just driven by the backlog for shipping now. The ports are jammed, the warehouses are jammed. There's only so many boats that can go around the globe. So watch this space. I think if it's not in mass production at this point, you'd be lucky if you see it by February. And there's a lot of stuff in mass production, things that I'm sort of waiting for that I have backed that are in mass production already. But even so, they're only just starting. Nippon Zaibatsu's in mass production has only just started, and they've just been really awesome. They said, look, there's no way we're getting this to you before Christmas, and to be honest, I don't even care, right? Not because I've got so many games to play, but it's like the joy of waiting. Like, I'm not a have it now. Like, I like to have things soon, But I mean, it's going to get here eventually. It's going to be here eventually. It'll be on the table eventually. And that sort of trickle effect is nice because it's not sitting on my shelf of first going, hey, man, sitting here. I'm still in shrink. What are you doing? Sort your shit out. It's not here. So that's it for me on that. Welcome to FOMO Mofo, where I take you through my personal angst-ridden journey of capitalist acquisitionism. As always, this is not an exhaustive list of crowdfunding projects, but merely those that have my personal attention, either because they are by a design or development team I like, a theme I enjoy, or because they have pretty toys, and I love it when it's all three. Well, I'm much calmer this week. 2 weeks ago, we had a chat. I had an aneurysm over the Ark Nova campaign. So I kind of need to say sorry, because it looks like they're going to fix the coins. When I say fix the coins, they're still going to be square. I think they're still going to be black, but there's four different animals on the back side, and there's a nice little Ark Nova print on the front side, and each of them is going to have sort of a pattern around the border that reflects the cultural origins of the country or continent where the animal comes from. So yeah, that's nice because, you know, yeah. So I was on the, yeah, I'm probably not going to bother to now. Okay. And it's not just because of the coins. Okay. It's just because of the coins. Let's be honest. It's just because of those fucking coins. And it wasn't even the coins. When you read about it, like the coin pack also includes your X tokens. Now, an X token is just about the most boring thing you could call it. Like, I don't know what was happening when Mr. Matthias Vigge was doing this game where he went, you know. And actually, I've read an interview with him where he said quite clearly, I wanted the money to be as nondescript as possible so it didn't make you feel like you were playing in any particular country or in any particular culture and that made everyone feel inclusive. I get that. Like, I get that. But black squares, brother. Anyway, and then the X tokens. You know what? I've got an X token because 1 plus X is 2. 2 plus X is 3. I'm like, oh God. I don't know why, but we just like, oh yeah, I got 5 X tokens. All of a sudden, we're using algebra. But anyway, metal X tokens. Look, there's no way I'm going in for all the mini buildings and all that sort of stuff, but you might get my money for the acrylics. I still have huge reservations about all the boxes because I think at last count there are at least 4, there might be 5 big box solutions in this. It's so hard for a company to get one box right. You know, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm an optimist. When I'm not screaming at the microphone, I'm sorry for that. That was inappropriate. That was uncalled for. It was uncalled for. That horrible rant about the coins. Really uncalled for. Anyway, Ark Nova is still out. It's still pledging. It's done in, I think, 12 days. And then 8 seconds later, late pledges will open for 10 months. So don't feel rushed. Don't feel any panic because you know late pledges will be open for 10 months. And it all has stretch pay. Stretch. You know, Stretch Pay's my girl. In crowdfunding news, Blood Rage Valhalla fixed the game board. And I'm doing my best Dr. Evil air quotes. Fixed the game board. Man, it still looks like Clue. Like Blood Rage Valhalla, Battle for the Kitchen. Alex Radcliffe from Board Game Co. He had some very complimentary things actually to say about Blood Rage. He said the game is a better game in his opinion. I may be misquoting. So Alex doesn't listen, so he's not gonna, you know, it's not like he's gonna call me and go, James, you misquoted me, you piece of shit. It's not gonna happen. But I'm pretty sure he said he thinks it's a better game, but he still likes Blood Rage more. Now read into that what you like. Blood Rage as in the original Blood Rage. You know, read into that however you like. The board still looks like a hate crime, right? It's like, and I get the board's not the board. I went into playing Smartphone Inc. Was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago with the guys at PlayCon 2 years ago, and I was really not looking forward to it. I looked at that board, looks like Excel spreadsheet. The board, like, it is so shit. so shit. It's like a white map with these little Indiana Jones sailing lines around it and spots for you to drop cubes. But man, Smartphone Inc. is a good game. Like, it is a good game. Like, the production is so trash, but it is a good game. Really good game. If you haven't played Smartphone Inc. and you like, midweight Euros, maybe nudging a little higher than midweight, try Smartphone Inc. So, look, maybe Blood Rage Valhalla is great. The minis look trash. They look so generic. I don't want to shit on it. I did that 2 weeks ago, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's been a long day. It's the end of Sunday. I don't do my best work, this time of night. Anyway, on to more positive. The Game Makers. If you've not checked out the Game Makers, now this isn't a publisher or some new company. It's actually the game. It's on Kickstarter. It's called The Game Makers. Now wait a goddamn minute. Like I saw like a preview or a post. It was probably a Facebook sponsor post pop up on this like 9 months ago, and I rolled my eyes. I went, "Oh yeah, a game about making games." Like there's another game out there called My Shelfie, which is a game about stacking games. I'm like, and it's funny because Super Trooper and I laugh. We had a bottle of wine a few months back, and I think it was Project L. We were all playing a game. We were joking that we could create a game about learning games. Right, so it's like it's a funny little holy trinity there, but the game makers, like they've gone out and they've gotten license agreements, hats off to them, for 300 of your favorite games. So the little cards in the board game are the box cover art from your favorite games, and it's stuff from Ark Nova to Carnegie to Nucleum to Botoku to like there are so many games you recognize in there. The whole thing, it's just wild, and like I just gotta hope that when they contacted the publishers and distributors for these games, that the distributors just went, "Oh yeah, man, here's our permission. Let us sign the letter. That is a cool idea." I'm hoping no one's charged the money for it because this is not Hasbro. The production is insane. You've got forklifts to move your games around your warehouses, and the forklifts are metal and plastic. I think in the actual description in the campaign it says, "Think Hot Wheels." So now you've got me pushing Hot Wheels around the board game to move the mini board games around. Come on. It looks great. It looks great. It really does. The gameplay's got a little bit of a fromage thing going on where you've got this gigantic forklift steering wheel that spins around and opens different wedges for you to interact with. There's drafting, and you've got this little tableau that you're stacking your board games into these cards. You're stacking them into your tableau, and you're going to score based on, I don't know what, I haven't really gone down the rabbit hole. But my favorite thing about this is the tiebreaker. Okay, so they've got a camera, an app hooked up to the camera on your phone, and if it goes to a tie, you just hover that over your tableau and it spits out, it overlays on it all of the rankings on BGG. And the tiebreaker is who has the highest ranked game in their tableau, right? So if you've got, I think Brass is currently number, if you've got Brass, well, you're going to win the tie. If you've got Ark Nova, it's third, you're up there. So the tiebreak is basically who has the highest BGG rating. I think it's fantastic. I think it's a neat little twist. I think they're going to absolutely suck all of us in on this. I can be perfectly honest and say that if someone in our game group, and I won't out them in case they haven't told their other half that they're spending $300 on this game, like the production quality looks like it's worth every penny. It's $300 for the game. It's $60 for shipping, which is 20%. Is it, I like to talk about percentage differentials on shipping because, the bigger the game is, the more expensive the game is, the heavier the game is, the more the shipping is. But damn, 300 IP licenses, multi-layer boards, it's got magnets, 3D buildings and trees. If someone in my gamer group wasn't already picking this up, I'd be thinking very carefully about it, because it just looks like a bucket of, oh yeah. Anyway, the Game Makers on Kickstarter. Have a look. Couple more. Art Society Deluxe Edition and expansions out. So Art Society, it's been around a while. It's got a great following. This is the deluxe version. It's got metal bits. It's got gold foil paintings, chunky bits, game trays. It looks fantastic. It absolutely looks fantastic, you know. And the deluxe all-in is 142 Australian. Shipping's $37. So what's that? 26%? It's getting up there. But if you like Art Society or you like this kind of game, 100% would play. I'm not gonna buy it, but I can see Buttercup's name all over this kind of thing. 100% would play. That's less than $200 delivered for something with top, what looks to be top quality production. I don't know much beyond that. The other one that I'm keeping half an eye on, and it's only because I quite like Tim Eisner as a designer, and I think he's more playing the role of developer on this. But this is called Satchel Quest, and it's this quirky little bag builder that is basically a dungeon. I wouldn't even call it a crawler. It almost looks like a side scroller. And what you're doing is you're putting out a little panel that represents a dungeon, and you're drawing chips out of a bag, and the chips are double sided, which gives you different options. Once it's double sided, there's something different on each side. And so you have different, think like land versus sea tiles, where you've got choices on both sides. And you're trying to build out this little card you've got. And once you've built it out to a certain point, you draw a new card and you can line it up and expand your little dungeon out. It looks really cute. The art looks really cute. I don't mind a bag builder. You know, I know it's basically just a deck of cards in a bucket, but I love that tactile experience. They're little wooden tokens that you're pulling out. And as I said, I do like Tim Eisner. I very nearly backed March of the Ants, which was, I think, his last one. Was it Tim or was his brother? They're both game designers. March of the Ants, which was the ant-themed 4X. I kind of regret not backing it at this point because it was a pretty cool little game. But anyway, whatever. Life goes on. But Satchel Quest, it's on Kickstarter. It's $106 Australian, and shipping is $22. So it's a really easy thing to justify. A beautiful Vincent Dutrait art, and it just looks like it's in that lovely little sweet spot that, you know, an hour. I don't know. Let me have a look. Yeah, the campaign says 1 to 4 players, 60 minutes, ages 10 and up. So this could be a fun little thing to play. Oh, there you go. By the designers of Point Salad, with development by the designers of Wonderland's War. So there you go. So it looks like they've got Tim Eisner involved on it as a sort of more of a developer role. But it's got a really cool little look and feel. So I gotta say, the quotes on there are sort of it's whether they're, you know, damning with faint praise kind of thing. I love that every chip I drew had a purpose and gave me choices. Okay, but was it a good game? I don't know. I don't know. So look, I'll be following this one a little bit just to get a deeper feel for it. I like the looks of it. As I said, and I like Tim Eisner's output. Anyway, that's it. That's all I'm watching. You know, I don't report on everything. You want to report on everything? Go talk to go listen to. I think Board Game Code Monthly does a whole thing of what's coming out in the month. There's a guy named King of Average who annoys the living fuck out of me. Just he's so aggressive. But at least he does coverage, I think, on all the games. There's a few guys out there since Shelf Clutter, you know, closed up his channel. Toying, I'm toying, no promises, but I'm toying with putting a camera on the table and doing a little bit of video work. So we'll see. That might be coming soon. But this week, a couple of big campaigns go live. So no surprises here. Andromeda's Edge Genesis, which is an expansion for Andromeda's Edge, is being released this week. Probably Wednesday, because Wednesday Australia time, which is Tuesday when most games drop. I can't find anything about pricing, whatever the case is. I don't even care. Andromeda's Edge is a great game. And Luke Laurie's come out and said, yeah, we kind of wanted to leave wiggle room for this, so it'll all fit in the main box, which is great. You can actually see space in the main box for more tiles, more factions, because a faction is really just a piece of card that slides in. There's two more raiders. One of them is an homage to Cosmic Frog, the game, and he eats these modules that if you defeat him, you can make him regurgitate one of these four modules for you to add to your board. They're really powerful modules. It looks like buckets of fun. So I am absolutely in on Andromeda's Edge Genesis. And the Galactic Cruise Achievements expansion goes live this week. I'm on the fence with this one only because I love what they've done with this. What they've done is they've got a box of like 12 mini boxes inside. And every time you hit some threshold or you achieve something, you get to unlock the box and add a new little module to the game. And whether that module goes into the game you're playing right then or not, I don't know. But it just, it's one of those things that I love Galactic Cruise. I do. But I like, what if you played 10 games and you'd only unlocked like four of these things? You know, I'd almost be tempted to buy the box and just upend it on the table and go, give me the modules, you know, and just slap them on. I know that's not the spirit of what they're trying to do, but then the inside of the box is like the employee of the month wall, the inside of the lid. And so, because once you unlock the achievement, there's a harder version of the achievement. And once you do that, there's these stickers that go on the inside of the box to mark your achievements. I think it's really cool. I think it's a really interesting, different presentation for an expansion. I can't see me getting 20 plays of Galactic Cruise in with other people just because we have so many games to get at the table. Maybe. But as I said, if I did get it, I think it's $49 or something, I would probably just be popping all those boxes open. It doesn't fit in the main box though, so it's another box of stuff, which is fine. It's fine. It's all fine. It's fine. I'm not going to die. Anyway, they go live. We're a few weeks out from Glass Cannon Unplugged's next big IP piece, which is Don't Starve. Now, Don't Starve was, I think, a Steam and iOS game many years ago, and I played a fair bit of Don't Starve. I thought it was really clever. I am not a fan necessarily of roguelike where you've got like a full reset, because in Don't Starve, like you could be like 3 4 weeks of game time in, and then all of a sudden you can't find any more carrots, so you just fucking starve and you're done. But look, I'm watching the gameplay. Paul Grogan's got a couple of gameplays out for watching to just see the gameplay loop. There'll be more coming, you can guarantee it. I do like Glass Cannon Unplugged's output. I think Frostpunk was an excellent game. Both in production quality, but also as a game and as a solo game. And I know you can play Just Starve as true solo, so just one. I mean, it looks like you could two-hand it quite easily, but it's got a true solo mode. And as I said, Frostpunk, which, you know, allegedly you can play four player, it's a solo game. Like, there's no two ways around it. So I'll be looking very carefully at that. I think it's very exciting. And certainly in lead up to that, I have taken the liberty of installing Don't Starve on the Peanut's iPad because, you know, if I can get her down that pathway, then I know I've got somebody who, when the game arrives, she just goes, "Woo, Don't Starve, I'm in. I'm in. Let's go slay some piggies." So yeah, that's coming. That'll do it for FOMO Mofo today, OMC fam. This week on Voices in My Head, One Man Clapping finished the first year. And that is huge, right? Like, I don't want to undercook it or even overcook it, but like, that's huge. And I'll tell you why it's huge. You know, we talked earlier about the stats. Our most podcasts don't make it past episode 21. And what's interesting is that around that episode 20 mark, that's when you realize this is hard work. It's not hard work. I'm not digging holes and putting up fences. But putting time aside every week to sit down, find something to talk about stuff, do your best to try and make it even vaguely interesting, because you know, you have no idea, right? You're just talking out to the ether. I've got a microphone here, and I've got some levels on the screen. I've got a small list of things that I want to talk about. And then you just go. And 20, 22, 23 episodes in, which is, you know, ostensibly the 6 month mark, you know, 24 episodes is, you know, 4 episodes a month for 6 months. You kind of go, huh, yeah, this is interesting. Now, for me, I love it. I absolutely love this, right? I love it. I sit here and I talk to myself and I send it out and some people listen, right? It's for me, you know, when I say thank you for my weekly therapy session, I mean that. I get to sit here and I'm fully clothed. Like, this is not some, you know, I don't want you to think this is some strange thing where I'm wrapped in chicken skin and rocking back and forth, and you know, there's a pink light on in the background, you know, rubbing the lotion on my skin. This is, I just love it. I love it. I love talking about my week, and I love sharing my life, you know, as much as I share my life. Obviously, we changed some of the names to protect the innocent and the guilty, but I really enjoy it. But that 6 month mark, you know, where you're like, oh man, like every week, you know, recording is about an hour and actually takes almost twice that to do the editing. You wouldn't think so. You're like, well, it's only an hour and 5 minute podcast. How can it take 2 hours to do the editing? It just does. You know, you got to listen to it back and you got to chop out all the ums and the coughs and the burps and the farts and remember to turn the fridge off so you can't hear it in the background. And every time someone flushes the fucking toilet upstairs, it goes whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. You don't hear those because I edit them out. You know, if there's some weird fetish going on out there, you guys want to hear an unedited version, let me know. I listen to the unedited versions of So Very Wrong About Games. They're fantastic because it's just warts and all. And it really is just a more natural conversation between two people. Look, I don't think that I've got that same interest. As in, it's not interesting listening to me flip through pages and go, now where was that number? Or, well, what was that? So that you hit that sort of 6 month mark and you go, oof, you know, I'm busy. There's only 2 days in a weekend. And realistically, to do an episode, if I was really effective with my time, it's 3 hours. So finding 3 hours every week, it's a little tough. And it's interesting because it's Sunday night. I probably won't edit this tonight. Normally I would record it. Normally I'm recording Sunday morning at like 5:30 in the morning. And I take a break and I go have breakfast. And then I edit sort of around lunchtime. And then I publish it later. But because my work schedule is a lot less aggressive, I'll probably record this tonight. I'll save it in the tank. And then tomorrow after work, I'll come down and I'll edit it. I can spread it out now. Whereas my last job, it was like, by the time I got home from work, I was absolutely shenanigized, right? Like I just couldn't be bothered to do anything other than maybe have a cup of tea and, watch a bit of Peacemaker. But yes, spoiler alert, I'm a fan of Peacemaker. He is hilarious. Yeah, I can understand why a lot of podcasts don't make it past them, because at that point, it's not new anymore. It's not fresh, and you have to find your own reason, because you're certainly not making any money. Like, this is not a money-making exercise. In fact, it costs money. I just had to pay my annual bill for hosting. I know there are places that host it for free. I've just started putting ads in. I think if I'm being wildly optimistic, the ads will pay for the annual hosting. It'd be a maybe. That's maybe a positive outcome from that, right? And it just means that it's one less sort of cost in my life. But for me, it was a number of things. So the stuff I love, like first, thank you. Thank you to everyone that listens to this drivel for whatever reason. You know, I've got friends who listen, and they listen because they're my friends. They go, oh, that was me. We played that game, and they want to hear me apologize for ranting about Ark Nova because then the coins were fixed. Or, you know, I've got friends that listen. I've got friends all over the world. You know, that's, I know that there's some of them that listen, but thank you to everyone that downloads and listens to this. You know, it's, we don't know each other, but I can see you. I can see, well, not you. I don't have a camera. I'm not watching. I'm not wrapped in chicken skin watching you, but I can see you. And we'll touch on that in a minute. Let's do it now. So, as of today, in the last 6 months, and it doesn't keep all the metrics, but One Man Clapping has been downloaded and listened to in 36 countries. Holy shit. That's so humbling to think that my voice, whether it's one home or six or 10 or 12, is being listened to in 36 countries, right? Like, wow. Now, I only have like the top 18. So if you're interested, I'm going to rattle them off. If not, fast forward 60 seconds. So, because a whole bunch of them just get lumped into other. The small ones get lumped into other. And I might be able to find some way to deep dive on those. But just the tops here. United States, Australia, United Kingdom, Canada, France, Netherlands, Germany, Norway, Belgium, New Zealand, Sweden, Austria, Switzerland, Denmark, Ireland. I mean, And countries that I know were listed in here earlier. We had listeners in Greenland and Iceland. We had listeners in Ukraine. We had listeners in Russia. We had listeners in South America. I know Brazil and Panama. There have been listeners in Panama. If I'm missing your country, guys, it's because it's been lumped into these others and I can't unpick it. But holy, like, wow. And I don't mean that to sound insincere at all, right? So that's a thank you. I've managed to actually meet a couple of people out and about, usually at board game conferences or board game days or whatever cases, who are listeners, you know, and that is so cool to bump into somebody and go, oh, you're One Man Clapping. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I love your show. And I'm like, thanks. I mean, I haven't met anyone yet that's gone, you're One Man Clapping. You're so shit. And other than my daughters, you know, my daughters tell me all the time. They keep me honest. And I love that about them. That's amazing. It's just so cool to bump into somebody who listens to the show. Like, wow. It's yeah, wow. Hearing from you guys, right? Like, whether it's a Facebook post or whether it's an email or whether it's just a quick DM through social media, it makes my day, right? Like, people have messaged going, oh, I listened to that episode last week, really enjoyed it. Or, hey, I listened to that episode, you made a mistake. I'm like, yeah, okay, right, hit me, right? It doesn't happen often, but hit me with a correction. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, and talking to people on the show, I haven't had many guests. I mean, I've had some friends on the show. I've had a couple of guests that have really made my day to talk to. You know, talking to Paul Grogan was certainly one of the highlights of my first year. Talking to the guys from So Very Wrong About Games was exceptional. It's about nailing people down. You know, Luke Badger from Badgers from Mars is very keen to have a chat. I bumped into Luke. I met him last year at PAX Australia. Just a delightful gentleman who's very giving of his time. And Luke, if you're listening, I know I owe you a chat. I'm dying to chat with you about the birth of Regicide and Regicide Legacy. And I see, you know, you've got a new game coming that I think the guys at Garfield trickled out and announced on your behalf the other day. I mean, it's just wonderful to see that stuff. And the guys from Board Game Barbecue, you know, we talk all the time. They are legends, absolute legends, and very keen to be on the show. I want to tell their origin story. And I've got a number of others. And it's really just about that magical alignment of planets that allows everyone to talk together, you know, particularly if we're on opposite sides of the planet. You know, when I was talking to the guys from So Very Wrong About Games, I accidentally stood them up on the first day we had set up. You know, it's amazing. And, you know, and there's more to come. You know, and I guess one of the things I want to say is I never want to do this as a job. I love my job. I absolutely love my job. I work in hospitality. I work in a branch of hospitality that I find incredibly rewarding and good for the soul. And I now have a job in hospitality where I only have to work Monday to Friday, regular hours. There's working from home days. Imagine that in hospitality. I mean, I'm not obviously not cooking, right? I don't have a knife in my hand anymore. But doing this, doing One Man Clapping or doing board games, you know, even if I manage to get to Gen Con and Essen, even if I manage to get some paid content, which I don't really want to do, like I don't really have any interest. I don't need the money, right? If I can get One Man Clapping to break even and pay its own bills, that would be so amazing. But I would never want to do this for work. I don't ever want to feel like, well, I have to play this game because it's my job, right? And I respect those that do. I take my hat off to you. You know, it's the same reason I never want to do play testing. I don't want to have the mystery unveiled when it's imperfect. There's plenty of opportunity to do play testing. I have no interest. I don't want to do, you know, 40 plays of something, helping them make it better. Maybe that's selfish of me. I don't know that I would have any valuable feedback anyway. You know, I can say, yeah, I like this. I didn't like this. This needs adjusting. But who am I, right? You guys are the experts. So I would never want to do this for work. I do this for me. I'm all in on that one. I need to read some stuff out to make sure that I catch this, guys. So thank you to everyone that listens. Thank you to my amazing friends. Thank you to the Fox. Thank you to the wider gaming group. You guys are all fucking amazing, every single one of you. You know, everyone that's ever answered my calls, everyone that's answered my emails, anyone that's been on the show or been talking to me about the show, I gotta do a big special thanks to Super Trooper. You know, this man keeps me honest. He keeps me on target. He keeps pushing me with topics. Sometimes they're topics he wants to do with me. And sometimes he's like, oh, this would be great. You could do this. And it's fantastic, right? He keeps me sane, keeps me gaming, keeps me talking. I'm very grateful, right? Very grateful for all the people around me. Thank you to everyone that's ever reached out. you know, thank you to my mate Steve, you know, who passed. Steve shuffled off this mortal coil 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I'll tell you what, I get up, and I get outside, and I stand, and I let the sun hit my face with my eyes closed, and I just go, fuck yeah. I'm upright and breathing. I can play a board game. I can buy a board game. I can see my friends. I can cook a meal. I can go for a walk. Life's good, guys. Life is good. What's next? Lots more. Lots more of this. More guests, more content, so many more games. I want to be playing games so much more often. It's not about energy. It's about impetus. It's about finding more people to get to the table. I love playing solo, but man, I love people. I love people, right? So if you're in Sydney and you don't think it's weird, send me a message. I mean, don't. Look, if you're a serial killer, just tell me up front, okay? Because I'm a nice guy. Like, we don't need that kind of friction. And as a recording, right now, it's less than 5 weeks in PAX Australia. So I will be there with Lou on Friday and Saturday. If you're there, hit me up for a game. If you want to have a chat, if you're a designer, if you're just somebody who just loves talking. The people I have on the show don't have to be, you know, any different than me and Super Trooper. I often make offers to my friends going, hey, do you want to be on the show? And they're like, yeah, nah, I don't think so. That's fine too. Anyway, I'll see you at PAX. I will be there. It's less than 5 weeks away. That's it. Week in review, guys. A week, a year. A year feels like a week. It flies by and yet it drags by in times. Very grateful. I am very grateful to be sitting here in the bunker I have, surrounded by the smell of fresh ink and cardboard and sleeves and glue and just fucking happiness. You can reach me on all the socials. You can find me on Facebook by searching One Man Clapping. You can email me. You can send DMs. I'm easy to find. You can help One Man Clapping by dropping me a like on Facebook or Instagram or leaving me a review. Whatever platform you choose. One Man Clapping, I think, is on every possible streaming platform out there, including YouTube, if YouTube's your thing and you want to listen to One Man Clapping on YouTube. And this week's episode has been brought to you by me. I missed the clap. I was going to do a clap. I'll do it next week. You know, I missed it. I skirted past that one. But this week's episode has been brought to you by me. Me, and all my me's. All my multiple personalities and all the voices in my head and the bits of me that I choose to share with you and the bits of me that leak out that I would never choose to share with you. Thank you as always for your time. Your time is precious. And the fact that you choose to waste an hour of it listening to how I spend my time is always humbling. Until next time, get your game on, even if you got to play with yourself. I do. You can. You should. Peace out, mofos. Locked in the bunker, shadow shaking. One man clapping secrets awake. Board games living, dice they break. Echoes pounding, hearts they quake. Life is good.